Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we are thankful you're listening in today. I hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes. I do want to make mention before I go on that we would like to invite you or let you know about Mount Lebanon. We'd love for you to come and visit with us. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just outside of Boone City limits on Highway 105 South. And then you take a right on Baird's Creek Road. We are just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for all ages. 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service. Wednesday nights at 7, we're preaching through the book of Mark. Lots more information on the church website, mountlebanonbc.org. But I want to make an announcement also concerning coming up this Saturday is the Boone Christmas Parade. And we'd love for you to come out and view the parade. Our church has a float in the parade, and we have, I think, this is the fifth year. And we got started doing that. My wife came home. She'd been to the parade. And she said, "You know, I noticed there wasn't anything about Jesus in the Christmas parade. It was all about Santa Claus and all like that and local businesses." So she was bothered about that. And she wanted to do something about it. So the next year come around, we started talking about, could we as a church put a float in the parade? And every year since then, there's been more and more churches putting floats in the parade, and so sort of get it back where it's supposed to be. We're not opposed to Santa and ho, 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 and all like that. I mean, if that's what you like. But really, Christmas is about Christ. So the Boone Christmas Parade is coming up this Saturday, December the 5th. Our church has a free gift for the first 2,000 people we meet. And last night we got together and put together a little gift bag to hand out during the parade. So we're looking forward to that, and we hope there's good weather. Noah, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. I want to say welcome to our listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners and count it an opportunity to be on each of these radio stations. Now, we want to get right into the subject we've been looking at for several weeks now, several months. We started in August, September, October, November, and here we are starting a new month today and or this week. And so we've been looking at the subject of what I can do for my country. And we spent several weeks just talking about prayer. The Bible says, first of all, prayer, supplication, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And we said, first of all, what can we do for our country? We can pray. That is first and foremost. We talked about the power of the gospel to change lives. We talked about the influence of local churches in the community that are active, that are visible, that have an influence in that local community. We're not talking about a denominational headquarters. We're not talking about something like that, but we're talking about the influence of the local churches with pastors and people. And we talked about the influence of that. We talked about it just a little bit last week when we talked about that one of the things we can do, we can remember. David said in the book of Psalms, he said, "Yea, I have a goodly heritage." And he was thankful for his heritage in the Lord. a godly family that he was born and raised in. And we talked last week about the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims came to America as a congregation. They referred to themselves as a congregation. And it is from that local church body, that congregation, that we get America's first government. We get America's first official documents. We get America's first peace treaty. We get America's first hospital, and on we could go. Just talking about our heritage and the influence of churches. We talked about Romans 13 and the model citizen. And today we want to go on just a little bit further, and we want to look at the subject of humility. I've been thinking about this over the past several days, what I can do for my country. We want to look at the subject of humility, and that is opposed to pride and arrogance and conceit. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 4, it says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." And we need some humility in our nation. I looked up that word in the old dictionary, the Webster's American Dictionary, published in 1868. And he said that humility was freedom from pride and arrogance, humbleness of mind, lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own worthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. Where do you see that in our society today? I mean, an example of true humility. They're very much few and far between in the public life. Think about that one more time. Freedom from pride and arrogance. I mean, that pretty much is a picture of America, pride and arrogance. He said it's humbleness of mind, lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence from sin. We don't even talk about sin. You don't hear the word sin even mentioned very much in public life. And submission to the divine will. True humility is almost absent from public life. There's very few examples of humility. One of the things that really got me started thinking about this, what night was it? Sunday night football. And I was watching the Broncos and the Patriots, and I don't want to get a sports argument started, but I was really pulling for the Broncos because I can't stand the Patriots. Because the head coach and the quarterback, they just seem so arrogant to me, and I can't stand that. And so I told my wife, I said, I really wish the Broncos would beat them. And we could say that about, I mean, if you just watch football in general, look how they dance around in the end zone, and the Panthers are just as bad. I've got a Panthers hat on my head. I mean, I'm not the biggest football fan in the world, but I know a little bit about it. But they're so arrogant and they're so cocky in how that they act. And it's just absent very much for humility. But the Broncos won. And without their star quarterback and the guy, I think his name's Weisler. Or I'd never heard of him before. I didn't even know Peyton Manning was injured. And he said he was just very humble about it afterwards. I thought, man, I like that. He said, this just proves that this is a team effort. And, you know, there was some humility there. That is so odd to see in the sports world that when you do see it, it's refreshing. I enjoyed that. But that got me thinking about the importance of humility. You rarely see it in sports. You do not see it in Hollywood. You see the big stars of so-called of our day, and you think about the people that are in the headlines. I mean, there's no one I can think of to look to that is a good example of what it means to be humble. You think about the political world. I mean, you think about the election. I was thinking about who would I like to vote for? I don't know. I couldn't say today. But I would like to see somebody that has some humility about them. Whether you like Mr. Obama or not, you just about have to confess that I've never seen much humility out of him. He pretty much acts arrogant a lot of the times. And not just him. What do you think about Donald Trump? You think that's a good example of humility? Have you ever seen the way he acts? I mean, he's very confident. He's very opinionated in what he says. He's a very successful businessman. No doubt about that. But is he an example of humility? No way. No way. You don't see that. You don't see that in Hillary Clinton or Chris Christie. You might see that in somebody like Mike Huckabee or Ben Carson. But really, would they have a shot at it? They're probably too humble. I don't know. But I'm just saying today, you don't see very many examples of somebody that is truly humble. But once upon a time, there was humility. There was humility in society. There was humility among leadership. There was humility from the highest office in the land. I think about George Washington. I think about Abraham Lincoln. There's many, many examples from history that we could give of humility. Now, I want to read something from Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, April the 30th, 1863. The Civil War is going on. And Abraham Lincoln set aside a day of national humiliation. National humiliation. Think about that. That the president would set aside a day and say, we need to humble ourselves. We need to ask God's forgiveness. We've got too big for our britches. Now, he didn't say that, but that's how I would translate what he was saying. I'm going to read part of his proclamation for the day of national humiliation. And the reason for this was the Civil War. I mean, people are dying. There's a war. Our country is divided. But listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all the blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. Boy, can you imagine that coming from the President of the United States? Then he said, it behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. And so the president proclaimed a day of national humiliation, a time to humble ourselves and to think about how we got here and where we come from and that we have offended God, because you see, the nation was in a great turmoil. And there was a war going on. And so we do have examples of humility in our nation. We have to look back a little bit to find that, though. But as we read to begin with, we read out of the book of Proverbs 22 and verse number 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Humility and the fear of the Lord brings a blessing upon a nation. Pride, on the other hand, the Bible gives many examples of the contrast between humility and pride. And we could think of some examples of some national leaders in the Bible. I want to give you just a few of those today. I think about Ahab, and that is, you know, one of the most wicked couples in the Bible are Ahab and Jezebel. Most people that don't know anything about the Bible have at least heard about Ahab and Jezebel. And Ahab was wicked, and so was Jezebel. But there's a time in Ahab's life, which you don't hear this very often. You don't hear this about Ahab, but there was a time in Ahab's life where he humbled himself. And God saw Ahab humble himself, and God spared his judgment upon Ahab. It is in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 29. And the Bible said over there, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." And so we see that Ahab was spared from the judgment of God because he humbled himself. And as wicked as he had been, God saw that Ahab was serious, and God rewarded him for his humility. And he didn't have much humility in his life, but there was that one time, and he was humble, and God saw that. On the other hand, in the Bible, one of the greatest kings in the Old Testament is King Hezekiah. He's one of the best kings. He's one of the greatest kings. He is in the lineage of David, and Hezekiah was a good king. But I don't know if you know much about Hezekiah's life, but the Lord had sent a message that Hezekiah was going to die. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, and God gave him 15 more years. And as I've studied about that, and I preached on that one time, Hezekiah pretty much wasted those bonus years. I preached a message, and it's probably been one of the ones that has been mentioned the most over the years that people remembered. And I preached the message on the subject of bonus days. God gave Hezekiah some bonus days, but Hezekiah pretty much wasted the days. And it said in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 25, "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem." And so here's a good king. I mean, pretty much we look at his life. He was a good man. He was a good king. But because of pride, wrath came upon him and upon Judah and upon Jerusalem. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, it says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And that makes no difference if you're a good king or a bad king, like we find the two examples in the Bible. It makes no difference if you're a believer or an unbeliever. Pride in your life will bring about a fall. It matters not if you're rich or poor. It matters not if you're the president. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. I know some preachers. I know some churches that are very prideful about things. No matter the source of it, God looks at all of it the same. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." I don't know if you've ever heard of King Manasseh in the Bible. Now, King Manasseh was one of the most wicked. He probably, without a doubt, if you study about him, he surpassed the wickedness of Ahab. And I've studied about it. I've preached about the days of Manasseh. He reigned over the children of Israel for 55 years. And during Manasseh's reign, I mean, everything fell all to pieces as far as spiritual things are concerned. He was wicked. Can you imagine? 55 years. And during Manasseh's reign, they got into everything. He promoted child sacrifice. Now, they would take a little baby, a little newborn baby, and they had a false god named Molech. And they built a fire. Molech had sat there, and he had his arms held out. And they would build a fire under this idol, and Molech would become red hot. And they would take a little firstborn, a little newborn baby, and they would offer that baby to Molech as a child sacrifice. And they would lay that little baby, a living baby, up in the arms of that false god as a sacrifice to Molech. And that was Manasseh's church. That was how he worshiped his God with a little G. And they were involved in that. They were involved in all kinds of sexual immorality. I mean, Bourbon Street and all these things we think about today as far as being wicked and immoral. They had nothing on the days of Manasseh. All kinds of immorality, all kinds of idolatry. I mean, Manasseh was a bad guy. But the Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse number 12, and when he was in affliction, that's talking about King Manasseh, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Now Manasseh was raised right. He was raised by people that knew the true God, but he got away from that. But when he got old and he got in affliction, and actually he was carried away in captivity, then he said, I remember Grandpa's God. I remember Grandma's God. Maybe if I'll pray to him, he'll help me. And so Manasseh turned back to the God of his fathers. That's what the Bible says. And verse 13 said, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. That word entreated, it means this, that the Lord was persuaded by the prayer of Manasseh. The Bible said, and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And so the Bible said there that he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. That humility, as wicked as Manasseh was, and as long as it had gone on, God still recognized and heard the prayer of Manasseh when he truly repented and turned to the Lord. Humility. God, I'm saying today that God takes notice of humility, no matter who it comes from. We could talk about Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, and Nebuchadnezzar was the world ruler, and God smote him in his pride, and he spent 7 years in the fields eating grass like an ox, and his hair and his fingernails grew out. He looked like a madman. He was a madman. And then after a certain period of time, his senses came to him again, and God restored him to his kingdom. And then he gave glory, and he recognized the true God of heaven. There's another example of a person that was lifted up in pride. God brought him low. He got right with God, and God restored him. There's many, many examples in the Bible. Now, here's one that a person did not repent of his pride, and it's Pharaoh. And maybe you know about Pharaoh in the Bible, and God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said this in reply in Exodus chapter 5, verse number 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now there's the problem in five words. Pharaoh said, I know not the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah God. That's what that is in the King James Bible. When you find L-O-R-D in capitals, that's talking about Jehovah God, the self-existent God, the only one and true God. And Pharaoh said, I know not the Lord. Well, that was his problem. What's our problem in America today? By and large, we don't know the Lord. We don't know the Lord like our forefathers. We don't know the Lord like some that have gone on before us. But not only does humility among leadership make a difference, but humility among people. God recognizes society as a whole. God recognizes whole generations of people that do not have humility. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 13 says, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. He's talking about a prideful generation of people there. Romans chapter number 1 describes the group of people in the Bible that God has given over to a reprobate mind. He has given them up to uncleanness to defile themselves among themselves. And that generation is described in Romans chapter 1, verse number 30. It says about them that they were backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. Talking about a proud people. Ezekiel chapter number 16, you might hear a lot of talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, he did, but why? Well, you might think you know why. But if you look in Ezekiel chapter number 16, the number one reason was not because of what they did with Lot's heavenly visitors or what they tried to do. It wasn't primarily because of the sin of Sodom, although that was probably the last straw. But the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter number 16, it says in verse 49, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride." Pride came before everything else that's mentioned. And God's order is never out of order. When God puts something in an order, that was number one reason. Pride is why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, a whole people. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 describes the conditions that'll be going on in the last days. Verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Listen to what it says in verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud." And on. I mean, I do not have time today to deal with all the places that the Bible talks about pride, or the Bible talks about humbling oneself. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Verse 17, "A proud look." Number one on God's hate list is a proud look. I mean, the Bible says that God hates that, and God judges pride. But pride is everywhere. And boys, I've studied about this. It's really been one that will make you search your heart and ask yourself, you know, where is there, that'd be a better way to put it, where is there pride in our lives? Where is there pride in my life? We live in the day. There's a new word added to our vocabulary, the selfie. And we're just used to that. But the very foundation of that, and if you have Facebook or Instagram or anything like that, you know, you see that all the time. Here's a picture of me, and here's a picture of what I'm doing. And I'm not totally against that, but if we're doing that in pride, you know, what is the motivation behind that? And it just flourishes in our society that we have a word called selfie. And selfie is a picture of me. And so pride, the Bible says God hates that. But we might ask ourselves, and I've got to quickly hurry and close here, what can I do about that? I cannot influence the president or the ball players. You know, that's got nothing to do with me. I'm just one person. Here's what the Bible says about pride. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." So God's people, first and foremost, have a responsibility to humble themselves. And so we can have humility as individuals. We can have humility as Christian people. We can have humility as Americans. Our country is very prideful. And I'm for being patriotic, and I love to see the flag and all like that. But we don't need to be lifted up with pride. We're no better than anybody else. We can have, myself as a pastor, humility, and an employee, a student in school, whatever the case may be. Psalms 34 and verse 18 said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that be of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." James chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And so we think about the subject today, am I prideful? That is a heart-searching question when we ask ourselves. And so what can I do for my country? Well, humility. Humility, as I study that out in the Bible, goes a long ways towards God's blessing upon a nation. Our time is quickly come and gone today. Noah's going to come and give our contact information. We do appreciate you listening into the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and we hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA, brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact our church, the church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.